Image for most of people from either as enough how to collect collections inside the building like an access. So all of these are sources of people. And one of the things that what do we mean by people? The thing about Italian, the same mechanism. When we did this incubations, lines and surveys, and then the body says that there is a significant trauma to the body, the reaction and loss. Patient then deliberately is exposed. So he's exposed to the room temperature, the air conditioning. So the reaction of the body will try to raise the temperature to compensate for this loss of heat. So in the first, let's say 48 hours, you will get call from nurses saying that the patient temperature is 48. Now, the reaction that we see from the interns, first thing they will do, septic screening. But 38, patients have normal heart rate, normal blood pressure, reducing the urine output, is conscious. It's really not temperature. It's just only about the reaction to the trauma. So 38 per se, without the presence of other factors around it, is not a temperature. It just only it's not a temperature. It is a normal body reaction, and you should just only observe the patient. And what you may give the patient is antibiotic, which is basically acetaminophen or paracetamol, Panadol. Don't do more than that. When the temperature now starts to escalate and goes more than 38.5 and above, all right, which usually happens in the third or fourth day postoperatively, now you start thinking about the complications. All right, and basically the first thing you should do is not septic screening again. You treat it as an emergency condition, and an emergency condition, what do we do? Adol infusion, nope. What do we do? I'm going to put an emergency room. What do we do? We go ABC as well. We go and physically attend the patient and look at the patient, making sure that the patient ma dakhl fi musiba. Right? So basically you go and see and assess and examine the patient before you do any of these investigations. Right. From 38.5 to 14 is acceptable where you start doing septic screening. But before you do this, you have to examine the patient. One, you have to look at the IV lines, you have to examine the abdomen and the wound. Because there could be serious wound infection happening that may require even to take the patient back to the operating room. All right? So first thing you do, you go and reassess the patient and examine the patient. And after that, you can do your septic screening. And the septic screening is basically, you ask for blood culture, urine culture, sputum culture, you do CBC, you do UNE, looking at all the parameters, of course, after you examine the patient. Hmm? Sorry? That's my only, got to hear. No lactate. In surgery, forget about the lactate postoperatively, and you have to be your thinking around what's happened to the patient operatively, intraoperatively. Lactate and what's not is preoperatively where you suspect bowel ischemia or diabetic ketoacidosis or whatnot. Like in postoperatively, lactate will not help you that much. How lactate happens? From tissue, ischemia, and tissue trauma. So when you measure lactate postoperatively, of course you'll find time. But one not help you. So it's not part of our thinking. You will not find any postoperative patient that the surgeon or the surgical team asked for lactate. Illa lamma nadi medicine. Right? So basically, the other thing that can cause postoperative fever, and this is what we mean by examining the patient. When you go and examine the patient, what are you looking at? After the examined lung and feeling the abdomen, and you're looking at the wound. Wound itself or the site of the operation inside the abdomen, trying to see if there's any collection. And the collection could be either three colors. Collection in the abdomen. Yellow, red, and green. Alright? This is the fourth color. So the yellow or the brown is?
Abscess.
Good. Abscess. The red?
Hematoma.
And the green? Bowel contents. Okay, like a small bowel. Well, brown pieces, if it is large bowel. So I listed this to three things that collect in the abdomen. Green and brown, bad. Sorry. Very bad. Yellow could be a hand bad, could be sometimes not bad, because it sometimes could be just only serous fluid secretions, because from the an injury to the lymphatics. Like in the can, yellow thick with bowel smelling, this is bad. Then the last one is hematoma, or the red color. The color, right now, is not bad. 3 days later on, will be bad. Right? So if you see a big collection in the abdomen, If you see a big collection in the abdomen, all right, then basically you have to drain it. Because, you know, one day or another, it will become a big infected source and it may push your patient into sepsis. And you go from a simple, non-complicated condition into a very serious, life-threatening condition for the patient. Right. So, the septic or the workup for liver is, and of course, you do CBC, light, chest X-ray, you do the other cultures, sputum, urine analysis, blood culture, and sometimes, if you are in doubt, we may go a little bit higher than that, and we order CT scan. And why we order CT scan? In body cavities, there are areas we can reach and feel. And there are areas we cannot feel and we cannot reach. And the areas that we cannot reach and feel is brain, chest, pelvis. This we cannot reach it. Okay? And sometimes we feel that the patients really have something serious more than just a simple wound infection. And at that time, if the patient, especially if the patient is having disturbance in the vital signs and in the blood work, CT scan is a major help for you. Right. This is a very important condition. This is a very important condition. Malignant hyperthermia is rarely happening. It happens in families. But when it happens and it goes unrecognized, it kills patients. And malignant hyperthermia usually happens after the induction of anesthetic agents because of a defect in the patient's mechanism. And in this condition, it is really the anesthetist's job to recognize things. And again, they will be busy operating. Sometimes you may not pay attention to the patient's temperature. You will pay attention to the patient's urine output, to the blood pressure, to the oxygen saturation, by frequently asking the anesthetist what's the patient condition. But sometimes the fever itself goes unrecognized. And the most of the time where it will be recognized really is in the recovery room, just immediately after surgery. And in this condition, if the patient is coming with a temperature of very high, shooting, escalating 40 and above, basically it's not wound infection, it's not pneumonia, it's not UTI, is not my infection, is not the condition of the patient. It is something has been triggering the fever center in the patient that's causing all of this fever. So you think about drugs that you give to the patient. And the drugs can be, 99% is from the anesthetic drugs. And then you have another 10% or 5% is from the medication that you're giving the patient, either antibiotic or whatever. Okay. Or it could be pre-operatively. So if the patient is coming with fever and he's still right post-operatively, it's okay. I mean, this is the course of his disease, and you are doing the necessary action. If the patient comes to you with no fever, let's say that we are doing an elective thyroid surgery or an elective leg surgery, right? And the patient is coming from home, no fever, stable vital signs, post-operatively it's feverish. Then you start thinking about malignant hyperthermia, and you have to go for the proper treatment, which is basically rehydrating the patient and give him medication that reduces the fever, which is basically dantrolene. Neuroleptic syndrome or malignant syndrome, this is just only for you to know, but thyrotoxicosis is another thing that is common, especially in female patients, where the patient comes to you and she or he doesn't know that they have thyroid problem, and he's coming to you, for example, for breast surgery, or let's say for hand surgery, and usually, most of the time, we do not ask about thyroid symptoms, right? Not about your history of physical. And the patient, actually, because he's been or she been having this problem for a long period of time, they think that this is normal. And they don't tell you. So she doesn't, or the patient doesn't recognize the condition, you don't recognize the condition, and most operatively, you find the problem. And in thyroid discosis, the patient, they come to you with what?
Hypothermia.
Increased heart rate. And maybe
sweating.
Heart problems. Atrial fibrillation and whatnot. Right? And this is most of the time how we recognize things, that the heart rate and the rhythm is not regular in this patient. But there are a few sets of patients where they're really unfortunate, it's not picked up in the debris of workup, and they manifest themselves as post-operative fever. So in this condition, what you should do, all right, after making sure that the patient doesn't have any mental problems, any other sources of the fever, like the wound infection, line infection, pneumonia, UTI, and then at that time, what you do for any fever, you cool the patient by giving him IV fluid, you may have sometimes ice packs, okay, give him antibiotics, and then rehydrate the patient and look for the cause. If he's thyroid discosis, then try to suppress the thyroid pneumonia. This is a big thing, most of you. Really, simple pneumonia. Just think about it. Who can get some pneumonia? Let's say, inshallah, name of a quiz, we have a lot of sand, right over for the abdominal vein, and we do surgery on him. Unlikely he will develop pneumonia. I have to try very hard to make him something get pneumonia. لكن خلينا نقول السيد هذا بعد الغداء استلمت سيارة and he had to have surgery. بعد الغداء ايش صاير فيه؟ عنده full stomach and I said we'll intubate him and he may aspirate in the fall of pneumonia. احنا ما سوينا شيء، هو اللي يسوى نفس pneumonia. There is another subset of patients who may develop pneumonia. Debilitated patients. Really sick patient. Don't talk. Both of you. You don't leave the room. Debilitated patients. Or sick patients. Or somebody who's been sick for a long period of time. Let's say a 70-year-old female diagnosed with a cancer. She's been cachectic, losing weight for a long period of time. We'll get her pneumonia. And let's get a 3-year-old child who is marasmatic, has got low albumin, liver in his body, very malnourished, this patient will get pneumonia very easily. Why? Because he doesn't get enough globulins and enough antibodies in his body to fight infection. Okay? So these are the people who can develop and may develop pneumonia. Elderly patient, cachectic patient, patient with advanced disease, and patient with very poor nutritional condition, those are at high risk of developing pneumonia. Pneumonia is very low, but the mortality rate is very high that they develop. Okay, especially in this elderly and cachectic patient, it can reach up to 20%, which is very high. So this patient, really, we give them, we become very cautious. Right now, if you go to to one of the surgical floors, you'll see 70, 90, 80 years old. This patient, when we operate on them, we try our best to maximize their general condition and to take the best precautions that we can do, possibly, to prevent them from developing pneumonia. Okay, like short intubation, good rehydration, good antibiotic, okay, and good nutrition pre-operatively. So, somebody above the age of 60, of course, if he is alcoholic, what does alcohol do to our body?
Dehydration.
So this patient, the alcoholics, because no brain, no food. Right? And what he cares about is getting alcohol. And alcohol, of course, will practice that nafs shahiyatak. It will make you saving the money to get alcohol down, especially in Saudi, it's not easy available. It's very expensive. But then So basically, they get distracted from normal life, and they get poor hygiene, and they get malnourished, and they get liver disease, and they get body damage. So they are malnourished, poor hygiene, and kashif. So this is what alcohol does to your body. Dependent functional status. What do we mean by dependent functional status? عندكم شيبه في العيلة؟ لا تقول لي عاد ما عندكم شيبه، شيبان في العيلة. عندكم واحد ما يمشي في العيلة؟
يعتمد على غيره.
عجوز والله شيبه. طيب عند جيرانكم في عندهم عجوز؟ سمعتوا؟ Right? So what happened to these people? They are chronically sitting in bed. Right? So, and because they are dependent on others. وقت ما تجي شغال تاكلهم، وقت ما يتذكر ولا ولدهم يتذكرهم، وقت ما يتذكر بنت تاكلهم. Right? And plus, they don't eat because خلاص يعني it is the end of life. أردل العمر. Right? And this patient, because they are lying in bed, most of the time, they have muscle wasting, they don't have good protein reserved in their body, and they have infection, they have bed sores, they have UTIs, they have everything. So they are preoccupied with infection. Their body immune status is already depressed. Okay? So this patient basically they are at high risk of infection. So Allah khalik ratak barun kibir, mawut nafsin gamma sirun dilithalit. Okay? Long-term steroids. How does it do? What does it do to the body?
Suppress the immunity.
Huh?
Suppress the immunity.
Only?
Yes, only. Suppress the immune system, yes. But at the same time, it makes your body very good media for bacterial growth. And it prevents your body from healing. It's not just only suppressing your system, it is doing something bad to you by preventing your body from producing good protein and collagen for healing and pneumonia. And what happened with the endotracheal tube, and too many of the patients, postoperatively, they complain of sore throat. Why sore throat? Thank you very much. Trauma. So this is the first thing. Trauma to the throat, and of course it will be trauma somewhere else in the bronchial system. And this is how they get pneumonia. So trauma, bacteria, a steroid prevents the body from fighting the bacteria and make the media rich for the bacteria to grow, and so on and so forth. So this is what happened to this patient when they develop pneumonia. And then 10% weight loss. This is very important. In 6 months, who do we see 10% loss? In who?
Cancer patients.
Why? Why the cancer?
Cancer patients.
Cancer patient. Yes.
HIV.
HIV patient. Okay. Yes.
Malnourished
patient. Take the different example of malnourished patients.
Old.
Well, young child with cerebral palsy.
Female.
Oh.
She doesn't know that she's harming herself by this forceful weight reduction. طبعا احنا اللي عندنا مجانين تقوم تاكل بس جبنه وبسكوت طول الوقت خلي البروتين اللي تمشي كله فات and carbohydrates. Okay, simply as this. So this is الله يخليكم اللي بيسوي فيكم regime, right? Get a well balanced diet. It's not the reducing the amount of diet only, it is maintaining the constituents of the diet itself. Okay? So this is the people who get pneumonia. So how would we do when we get pneumonia? So basically when you have somebody with pneumonia, what he would present with?
Chest pain.
Dyspnea.
Fever.
Decreased oxygen saturation. When they get pneumonia, مرة بيسيئة, what will happen to them? They become cyanotic, right? صدرك طبعاً really really very bad pneumonia. But best of the time, patient will come to you, fevers mainly, most of the time. Okay? And weak cup, and protective cup. That's what we have for this patient. And when you put the O2 set, you find the saturation is very low. So what should we do in this situation?
Oxygen.
Oxygen? Antibiotics? Fluids? No. We'll go ABC. We'll go and examine the patient first. All right? And making sure that he's got really pneumonia and not something else. This is number one. And then, according to your clinical findings, well, increased air entries, consolidation, the percussion note is heart, bronchi, and all of these things, then you go and confirm your diagnosis. We wouldn't start the antibiotic right away. We wouldn't start everything right away. And later, kind of obvious. Patient really looking sick, dehydrated, very hypoxic, and tachycardia. Then you will act at the same time as you are ordering investigation. So we'll do chest X-ray, we'll do CBC, we'll do blood work, all right? And you do your septic screening also, and then you put your patient on oxygen. You do ABG just to measure his arterial O2, yes. Because you know, you want to know whether this patient will stay like an open flame or cold. Because you want to know if the patient will stay in the floor, or you need to take him to a higher monitored condition, ward, like an ICU, like a high dependent unit. So basically, this is why Allah khaliqu. In the exam, I may get this question, I may give you this question in the exam. And I tell you, you've got 30 years old male patient who had laboratory for car accident, and most importantly, his fever. Alright? And I have to search where I indicate to you that this is pneumonia. And I will say to you, what is the initial step? All right, and I will put physical examination, IV fluid, antibiotic, oxygen. Please don't choose oxygen or antibiotic or IV fluid. Choose physical examination. You want to examine the patient as a first initial step. I didn't tell you what is the treatment for pneumonia, or what is the treatment for this condition, or what is the most likely or the most probable appropriate treatment for this condition. Read below the clinical question. All right. Initial management, initial step in the management is totally different than the appropriate treatment. Okay? So a physical examination is first thing, the most important thing. The moment of physical examination, the chest X-ray, this is the first most important thing before you start with antibiotic and everything. Anything that which make you make the diagnosis first and then you take the action. And the question can come in so many different things. So please look at the stem of the question. Okay? Anyhow, so after we do this, you have to have a high index of suspicion, and then you do your homework trying to reach the diagnosis. And then after that, you help the patient. You help the patient by giving him oxygen, rehydrate the patient, or decrease the pain that is associated with pneumonia and with surgery. Most of the patients, they develop pneumonia because they cannot take good deep breath because of the skin incision, the abdominal wall incision. Every time you try to take a deep breath, there is pain, so it stops. And it doesn't take breath. And this will lead to more collapse in his lungs, more bacterial growth, and more pneumonia. So try to minimize pain that the patient, either in his abdomen or his chest, and then give the patient the antibiotic. In patients who goes complex surgical procedure, all right, this patient, they are at high risk of developing multi-different organisms. The pneumonia post-operatively is not like the pneumonia from the streets. Pneumonia from the streets is because of the streptococcal pneumonia or any other street bugs. In the hospital, the bugs that you will develop or the patient will have is mostly different bacteria, right? Depending on the type of the surgery that the patient had. Patients who had bowel surgery, you will suspect enteric bugs, gram-negative bacteria, anaerobes. Somebody who's had leg surgery, let's say an orthopedic procedure, and he developed pneumonia postoperatively, you will think about something in the ventilator. The ventilator and they give the patient bacteria, or an nosocomial infection. Through the ventilator, طلع من مريض عنده pneumonia, وصل للمريض حقه, or through a hospital staff who's been handling the patient. So all this can cause infection. But in general, if it is GI surgery, then it is gram-negative. If it is post-operative, then most of the time it is gram-negative or it is a nosocomial infection. And I think you should read and should know what are the nosocomial infections that they may have happened in the flow. Okay? And then you got, because of this thinking of the broad spectrum of bacteria that can affect the patient post-operatively, we start with the broad spectrum antibiotic. Mm-hmm. Antibiotic that covers the gram-negative, gram-positive, and the anaerobes. And then once the culture we have is ready, bacteria or the organism has been identified, the sensitivity has been known to this bacteria, then you can now tailor your treatment according to the organism has been isolated from the culture. Right, sometimes in few conditions of the patients, especially patients who had immune suppressive medication and treatment pre-op, right? Somebody who had rectal cancer or somebody who's got breast cancer and has been treated with immune suppressive medication, chemotherapy. This patient, you know, they are at their weakest immune system point that they ever have. So this patient, their pneumonia, it will not like that, will not be like his pneumonia, the aspiration pneumonia. It will be something different. Because he's got no system, this pneumonia may go into bigger thing, into an abscess cavity. And the X-ray, or later on maybe the CT scan will show you the collection, not only consolidation, you may see air fluid level in the lung, which indicates that there is an abscess in the lung. And once you see an abscess anywhere in your body, anywhere in the patient body, basically what you should do? قالوا شدة عنده يفتح دائما ده خالتي وخالتك تفرق الخالات ذكروا هذا كلام. Okay, just drain it. Okay, any abscess condition in body, anywhere, brain, chest, abdomen, legs, anywhere, drain it please. Because this is the most effective treatment. Is you drain it and then you cover the patient antibiotic. Antibiotic, لا طبعا في اللنج you cannot back. Antibiotic alone will not work as efficient as draining. But antibiotic will help patient condition after you make the drainage. Right? Come back in. SSI. You'll see this SSI. معلق بكل الأجنحة بكل مكان. Okay. And this is basically a surgical site infection. We're surgeon. We cause wound to the patient. And our wound can heal normally, or it will not heal normally, it will take longer period of time, or it will never heal. Right? Precondition. You make an incision, and then you close. Either it will close, خلاص, بعد أسبوعين, alhamdulillah, مكويسة, or it will get a little bit delayed, longer than usual, a month or so, or it will never heal. And this is because some other infection and bugs happening on top of that. It is really very variable, the wound infection. It can be anywhere from 1 to 20%, and this 1% and 20% depends on the type of the surgery. نأخذها معك نحبها خلاص هاي تقدر نجيب هذا نقول إنه he got an abscess in his face حلق اليوم بموس خربان وصال alright and he got an abscess. And this guy, he got thyroid problem. Right? And this got convention. And this guy, all right, we found that he's got a fibroadenoma. But we got the fibroadenoma and we want to excise it. So we have three different types of wounds. Or three different types, sorry, of conditions. The guy with appendix, we're going to open his bowels, right? By dissecting this, the appendix. If there is no pus, no fluid collection, right, and no spillage, this is the contaminated procedure. If we open the GI tract, the respiratory tract, or the urinary tract, this is a clean, contaminated procedure. And the abscess. So his wound is really dirty. So this is a dirty procedure. What you have? Thyroid. My GI condit, my respiratory condit, my urinary condit. So this is a clean procedure. What do you have? Therefore, clean procedure. So in the clean procedure, no bugs, no really bugs except the staph or epidermis. These two things. right? For these two guys, if one of them, let's say 100 of them, hundreds of them like this, this condition, and two or three or four of them develop wound infection, let's say four of them develop wound infection, then this is really very high incidence of wound infection in this type of surgery, the clean surgery, all right? And there is really something, a break in the septic technique in the operation, in the operative room. Or there is a clear problems in the floor, in the people who are taking care of the patient. Or there is a real problem with the patient himself. مثال زين مو انك قلت لا لا جنسيه ولا عرق ولا اي حاجه لكن خلينا نقول واحد ميكانيك سيارات he's a mechanic or he's a work field a field worker and his really boss wants him to come to surgery to work immediately and because he's poor and he needs money he may go second day possibly and work and get his wound infected so before we see wallahi say that this is I want to start pointing and blaming people, would look at the mechanism. But in hospital, if they develop one infection, then there's seriously a break in the septic technique somewhere in the pathway of the patient, either in the operation or post-op in the nurse's care. You take it up. So this people, we are expecting their wound to heal very quickly with no problems. You take it up. Clean contaminated. So in the clean contaminated, procedure, let's say a lung surgery or a bowel surgery, alright, and the surgeon does his surgery, whatever, and make the anastomosis and close the abdomen, he is having a risk of wound infection up to 10%. Okay? But if he's having an abscess and fluid collection, or if I'm doing surgery and there is a spillage of the bowel contents pieces inside the abdomen, then we increase the wound infection like you know to 50%. Or to the maximum, 20%. Okay? And this guy, his wound will take, his wound will take, instead of 1 week to heal, it may take him a month to heal until he gets rid of the bacteria, and bacterial load, and then what start working, and his immune system fighting the bacterial connection in his abdomen or his face. The same thing, likewise, for the person who's got an abscess with an abscess. Or bowel surgery with contamination and spillage, then they will take longer period of time. So septic site infection is one of the common things happening in the hospital depending on the condition of the patient and the condition of the disease that he has. So it depends on the procedure performed, the classification, and host or the patient-related specific factors. Majority of them, skin flora. But if there is an abdominal cavity other than brain surgery, then the flora now will become mixed flora. Why did they say that's a tendon injury and the plastic surgeon wanted to repair his tendon? Then most likely your suspect is scab, stripped. Not more than that, two of them. But if I'm doing the surgery and I get wound infection, don't think your stripped is scab. It's gonna be something more than that, it will be mixed flora. Predominated by gram-negative enteric pus. Okay. So what should we do? خلينا ناخذ واحد من الصف الثاني. الأخ الكدش. So what should you do? عندنا واحد, a nurse. How the nurse will call you? She will tell you one of the scenarios. I have, doctor, I have this patient with a temperature of 40. Or she would say to you, I looked at his wound today, it doesn't look nice. So what should you do? Clean the wound. Anything else? ABC, you'll go and examine the patient. She may tell you that this is fever, right? And really fever, and he's septic. He's almost dying. You need to take him to the operating room. ما راح تضيع وقتك تفتح الوند while he needs resuscitation, IV fluid, antibiotic, all of the things. And I see you. Alright? While if she said to you, that's just only the wound looks dirty, still do not take the nurse word for granted. You still need to go and give the patient a visit and see and examine the patient and interview the patient and look at the wound. Please, Allah khalif. Once again, so you go and examine the patient and then you do whatever is necessary. So if the wound is looking erythematous, red, edematous, you know that there is some collection below the wound. So what do you do basically? How would you clean it, Yahi? How would you drain it? كيف راح تسوق السيارة؟ معلش بخلك معي مش معي كيف راح تسوق السيارة؟ ها؟ كويس راح تجيب المفتاح راح تمشي للسيارة راح تفتح الباب تحط المفتاح في السيارة وتشغل صح؟ عشان تمشي السيارة بعدين تدوس بنزين the same thing we want to drain it how would we drain it؟ لا هتروح للنيرس وتقول له أعطيني الأدوات okay you go to the patient you expose the wound you take skin clips and open the clips and then spread the wound that's what you will do okay simply and this is the way how we will drain the wound okay so true wound draining or draining of the abscess is right بس خلاص خليك تعلم من الكلمتين هذه what you will do you have to know how to do it then I may come to you the wound and go like dra something leading that there is a wound infection and the appropriate treatment for this patient is one ما راح اقول لكم draining راح اقول لكم رحت للنيرس جبت الادوات and just تفرجت رحت للنيرس جبت الادوات and open the wound رحت للنيرس جبت الادوات وفتحت الوند just expose the wound and remove the clips and drain it okay so I may get this question to you and it's common easy it's a common practical question okay it's not just only theory so basically you drain the wound and then after that you take culture you send it for to because you want to identify things and then what you should do 80% of the wound doesn't need more than that especially if the patient doesn't have fever and he's not septic and not tachycardia you said the most effective treatment for any fluid collection in your body that is giving you symptoms is خارج وخارج تفرقت من خلاص get rid of it okay drain it and this is most of the time you don't need any antibiotic on top of that but if the patient is having fever or the patient is having leukocytosis then please add antibiotic to that then you know that this is the beginning of an septic process that may spread in the patient body and make him very septic and toxic anyhow so this is what you do or let's say somebody is having temperature of 40 and he's really tachycardic blood pressure at the lower side and he's got now low urine output there is a condition and the wound infection called synergistic wound infection or what we know as necrotizing fasciitis this is really when the patient is really sick when they call you and tell you that the patient is having fever and his wound doesn't look right and you go and look at the patient you find him tachycardic hypotensive low urine output and decreased sensorium or confused then you know that there is something more serious than just a simple wound infection and one of the serious things is synergistic wound infection or what we call it necrotizing fasciitis this condition needs an aggressive fluid resuscitation big gun antibiotics broad spectrum antibiotic ICU to know and you take patient back to the operating room after you stabilize the patient because you have to debride the whole area that has this nasty infection and then a synergistic wound infection usually gram positive and gram negative they come together make a deal all right and go and fight together against your immune system this is what happened in the synergistic wound infection The other source of the postoperative fever is this is very important and we have to keep this in our mind pre-operatively to prevent it from happening post-operatively so this patient who will get DVT?
Petridin post-op chemotherapy
I have to try very very hard in him and him to get them DVT.
Mm-hmm.
واحد عمره 70 سنة.
Okay.
So all patients got obese.
Previous DVT or PE.
The previous coagulation problem.
Cardiac patients.
Smokers.
Embolization.
Like, let's think about it. Conditions. My condition. دراخت surgeon. دراخت anesthesia. Patient condition. Alright, بس ما راح يكون داخل لأنه he's got coming to you for help. The next surgeon he doesn't remember to prophylax the patient preoperatively against DVT. So you go ahead, especially the junior doctors, they forgot to order heparin preoperatively and give the patient the stocking. something to help the peripheral heart to pump the blood. Okay, هذه درجة Anesthetist, he just told me, لو سمحت الله يخليك حط لي مثل كبرج ديفايس and give him heparin before we start. And he forget about that. Okay, and at the same time, he keep the patient dehydrated most of the procedure. Why we don't develop? Why you and me and other people they do not develop DVT?
No circulation.
لأنه عندنا good venous system and normal heart pumping and we are working. هذا اللي يخلينا احنا at lower risk of developing DVT in comparison to a 70 years old patient. Okay? So we have these three things: heart, venous system, and good volume. ما ينفع كمان إن الهارت just pumping ما في blood, right? Or patients dehydrate simply. So in this patient, anesthetist يأخذ المريض and he are cutting وعندك bleeding وعندك edema and all of these things and he's not replacing this. And heart just pumping fast على شيء على شيء. Pumping fast on just only 50% of the original volume of the patient's blood. So the anesthetist also, besides the given compression device, heparin, he should maintain normal bulimia in the patient intraoperatively. This is the patient condition. Any patient who had previous history of DVT or PE is at high risk of developing DVT and PE later on. Another condition, patient who is dehydrated, patient who has malignant condition, patient who has chronic inflammatory condition, and patient who has coagulation or not coagulation per se, but a factor that make him more prone to DVT, like SNE or toilet pipes or diseases. Okay, so this other condition will make the patient more prone to develop DVT than other conditions. So this patient basically درهم وقاية خير من قطار علاج. So you prophylax the patient preoperatively to avoid this postoperatively. So how the patient will present postoperatively who's got DVT?
Swelling,
pain,
edema,
A DVT هذه may not stay in this place and may go somewhere else.
Pulmonary.
Okay, and how pulmonary embolism will present with?
Shortness of breath, tachycardia.
Just pain, shortness of breath, and tachycardia. Okay, so this is the thing that you look at when you have patients. Right? And what you do when you suspect, or simply none of the above, and just only fever. Lung DVT is a trauma to the patient. A deep impression. Now, put the lung. وماشي بالطريق سقط عليه واحد ايش يصير فيه؟ يغلي الدم في عروق يصير احمر خلينا نجيب مشكله واحده بالزيت يصير احمر لكن الحمره هذه المانيفست فيفر لما يجي ينزل واللي قدامه يديك واي اللي صار عندنا فيفر هنا تروما حق الكف هذا صح ولا لا؟ سمبلي سو ديفيتي از ذا سيم تروما تو يور بادي ويل انيشيت ذا cascade of the fever, which is basically the cytokines, goes to your brain, activate the brain, give you fever. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this early alarms to alert us to this condition. Alright, so fever by per se, اللي هو تذكر أول ما تكلمنا أول المحاضرة كنا واحد عنده 38.1, 38.2. Okay, do not ignore to examine the patient's legs, because this could be the source of the fever for the patient. So when you suspect there is DVT, what should we do?
Heparin.
Okay, what else?
Switch to warfarin.
Switch to warfarin.
Thrombolytics.
You go and examine the patient.
ABC.
Okay, ABC, Allah khalikum. All right, and you look and examine the leg, and look at the leg size. Is one more than the other side? Is there any edema? Is there any fever around the leg? And then you ask for a Doppler ultrasound. You have to confirm the diagnosis. Now you suspect the diagnosis, confirm the diagnosis. Starting in heparin, postoperatively, inshallah, will bleed to death in his abdomen if we operate in his abdomen or in his brain. All right, so before you make an incision, because your treatment, the consequences of your treatment is very harsh on the patient. You don't want to give him anything until you are 100% sure that you will help the patient by the treatment that you want to give. And you're not going to harm him, or you want to give him the best choice. And sometimes you are forced. You have to start with heparin, otherwise he will die. Well, bleeding, later on we'll deal with it, if bleeding happens. All right, so basically, after you confirm this, which is the gold standard, nowadays, is double ultrasound, but then you start the treatment for the DVT, which is basically you heparinize the patient, and then later on you warfarinize the patient. So this is what you do in the DVT. PE is the same, ma عندنا وقت, and almost time has finished. All of them are given. You can find this in later on لما نعطيكم المحاضرة. Here simply we reach PE and cardiac problems. A cardiac problem simply if you are playing with basic condition. Why basic cardiac issues? PE factors. لا برضه ليه؟ لا خد سيرجن. لا خد أنستيزيا. Basic condition. Then that's going to the surgeon like that. All that we do today. Okay, so it's a surgeon factor, anesthesia factor, patient factor. Patient factor منهم واحدة ثابتك سكوزي صح؟ خلينا منها. Or somebody who's coming to you dehydrated. Or somebody who has been crashed. Or somebody who's been already known to have cardiac problems and his cardiac indications. Then خلينا نتكلم عن surgeon. لما نحضر واحد for surgery, we have to maintain good volume and good electrolyte balance. يعني لازم يكون normal volumic, isotonic. Okay? What we do, especially in GI surgery, we give patients some medications and some material that to bowel prep them, to make their bowel clean. And this drugs and medication will cause imbalance in his electrolytes. I always say somebody with bowel obstruction or girlfriend to you, comes to you vomiting for large amount and for a little bit long period of time. So they will have electrolyte balance, mainly potassium. So in this patient, if we don't correct it, we just anesthesia doesn't check on the electrolyte balance and give him medication. بإذن الله. أقول لكم مع السلامة. باي باي. أشوفكم بالآخرة. Okay? وأهلا أشوفكم بالمحكمة. So simply, you rehydrate the patient. Make sure that the electrolyte has been corrected and it's very well balanced. All right? The anesthesia should not really start his anesthetic medication until he is sure about the electrolyte imbalance, unless it is an emergency, then this is just something different. And then you operate in the patient. And then post-operatively, you should maintain checking and the electrolyte balance on this patient. All right, so please don't say that my role will stop at surgery. No, your role before surgery, during surgery, and then post-operatively. During surgery, I can't do that in every place. Right. So the surgeon will try his best to maintain good hemostasis, okay, very well balanced during his procedure, and then postoperatively he will continue monitoring the electrolyte balance on this patient. And by this is the way that we avoid cardiac problems. The most common is tachyarrhythmia and atrial fibrillation in this patient, especially if they are elderly patients. Okay, that this is the things that they may develop postoperatively.